This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 486. We're recording this on Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. And so glad that you joined us on this show about technology and ministry. And this is the show that we dedicate each month to educational technology, and helping me navigate those waters is, of course, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am great. How about you, Martin?
I've been better, but thank goodness we have two very smart ladies on the show today, yourself being one. The other, Rachel Feld. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, welcome back, Martin,
to the show. How are you?
I am doing well today.
Good. Rachel, you are a lower grade teacher at, I always forget the name of your church.
Bethany Lutheran.
Bethany in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's down near the border of Wisconsin. Right. Rachel joins us for educationally focused shows and brings her knowledge of teaching and ministry and technology along with her. What are we talking about, ladies, today?
Well, this whole podcasting season, Martin, we've been focusing on a report from the New Media Consortium. It's called the Horizon Report for K through 12. And this is kind of a think tank group that takes a look at different educational technology things that are on the verge of making changes to the way education happens in the classroom. And one of the things that is focused on, something that's targeted for time of adoption 1 year or less, so right here breathing down our neck basically, is online learning. And there's a section in the Horizon Report, a couple of pages, that they've dedicated to online learning. And you certainly can reference that. We'll have a link in our show notes to that. And just to give you a quick synopsis, I was reminded a lot of the recent interview we did with Principal Tim Plath, who chairs the Area Lutheran High School Online Committee. And a lot of the focus of the article and the things there were right in line with what our Area Lutheran High School Online is doing. So maybe more focused on hybrid and online only kind of learning, maybe at a higher level, high school level or whatever. And some great ideas there, and just kind of validating that those Area Lutheran High School Online folks are on the right track, I think.
The thing that I'm kind of interested in is, especially hearing from Rachel, since she's a lower grade teacher, a lot of the things that we talk about on this show when we talk about online learning, as you mentioned with Tim Plath in high school, is upper grades or high school or beyond. I'd be, as we talk about this, I'd really be interested in Rachel's perspective on what's out there in online learning for, you know, lower elementary. And as we were kind of doing some show prep, she brought up some good resources, and I think we'll get to some of those. Maybe before we go there, we should talk about one of the big winners with online education, at least in my opinion. You guys can chime in, and that's homeschooling. Homeschoolers are really looking for great resources wherever they can find them, and online learning seems to be a good source for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I know that many state-based education organizations have been offering online public schools here in Minnesota. They have that. I know down in Florida, it's really big, their Florida public school online. And, you know, just an opportunity to expand the offerings on the homeschool setting and allow students more options and more flexibility with their schedule and responsibilities.
We have a student who actually finished up his, wasn't our student last year and was having some issues at school, finished up the rest of his school year at an online school and then came to us this year. And we don't really see where like he's had any places where, you know, he missed out on academics or anything. So I think there are a lot of different applications for this kind of learning.
Yeah, definitely on the remedial side, but also on the advanced side, you know, just challenging more gifted students to, and giving them exposure to things that maybe a small school wouldn't have to offer for them, but letting them go further with their education. That actually kind of ties into the concept of MAPS. We talked a little bit in our pre-show planning about this new testing system that the Commission on Lutheran Schools is recommending for our Lutheran schools to participate in, called MAPS. And Rachel, you're familiar with that?
I am. My school just started using it, not this school year, but last school year. And that's actually one of the reasons that I brought up this topic to talk about, because my principal was looking for a way to take all the great data we get from the MAPS testing and, you know, make our teaching match with what we know from that data. MAPS testing is it replaces your standardized testing. But the really great part about that is it's adaptive. So it starts at a baseline level, but then as a kid either gets questions right or wrong, it adjusts the level to match the student. So it's not really timed, which can be a struggle in the classroom because you've got some kids who are going to take a really long time and some who aren't, but you make it work. And it's just really nice for the kids. They get to do it 3 times a year, but they're not like super huge tests. So you get to see the student growth throughout the year and see if maybe there was one issue your class was struggling with and you focus on that issue, then see if what you did can really had helped that problem. But as far as online learning, we were looking for some way to just point the kids towards help with whatever specific subject they were or area of a subject they were struggling with. And it's next to impossible for a multi-grade teacher to, you know, make a lesson for each kid or each, you know, small group of kids to really drill down to what they're struggling with. But with some of these online functions, you can point send the kid a link to a particular standard or a particular topic, and then they're able to practice that through the help of whatever online service you're using. And everyone can be studying a completely different thing, but they're all getting exactly what they need.
Yeah, that individualized learning is probably the big benefit of online learning in general, which is really hard to do in just a pure face-to-face environment. One teacher and 10, 20 students creating individual paths to learning is nigh to impossible. I was talking to my wife last week about this, and they use IXL, which is a paid-for application that pay a subscription per student, and it has math, language arts, science, social studies, basically the whole gamut. It started mostly in math, which is natural, I think, for a lot of these online tools to start with. But the neat part about it is she has total analytics over the performance of the kids. So when she goes in and looks at some of the results, it actually gives her suggestions for different modules that certain students should take. And in fact, it names them. You know, so Johnny and Jimmy and Sally and Susie were having issues with this particular module. Therefore, these four kids might really benefit from doing this one, kind of remedial, or these three kids really kind of blaze through this. Maybe we ought to try this because they seem to be really getting it and can go forward. So it kind of does that in conjunction with the teacher. And that seems to me to be a real big benefit of trying to use technology for what it's good at. And that's, you know, the analytics, tracking data, and then spitting out some meaningful metrics that can help the teacher move the kids forward.
help them move little remedial Sally forward. I caught that in there. But yeah, so
purely unintentional, Sally.
Right, Freudian slip there.
You just have one of those names that Tom, Dick, Jane, Sally.
Yeah. So I'm loving this concept. I think online learning, I think I've got to get a thick textbook and do a whole lot of self-study and, you know, that kind of thing where I'm in it for a semester or something. But yet what we're saying is down at this lower grade levels, you can blend your learning. You can individualize, and these tools are just a huge help to you. And so I see that as a real big win for smaller schools like many of our Wells schools are, and just really stretch staff who are maybe multi-grade, single classroom for all grades or whatever. And, not that you're going to go 100% sit at your computer and continue to do these things, but it's going to be a really big help. And, you know, as Chromebooks get more and more prevalent where students have devices in their hands, I think this could be a real win for us.
Rachel, let me ask you a question, because this came up with my conversation with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about this as well. One thing she's noticed is that kind of it's a love-hate relationship with the students. They can get really intense and really, really into it and competitive. But on the other hand, some of them can just kind of shut down and give up because of the stress that it can create, because they see their score accumulating and, you know, they've got to do it over if they don't get it. And there's just this kind of tension for some kids. Do you observe that with your kids or other kids, you know, in the school when you're doing some of these things that are giving you like immediate feedback? And also there's a semi-competition, you know, I'm sure that is maybe even more pronounced with these online tools than it is with, an individual just doing their work at their desk.
I have seen that a little bit. In my classroom, we are very informally trying out a website and app called Front Row. And we're trying it out because it's free, and IXL is not free. So I wanted to just kind of see how it worked in my classroom first before spending any money. It's something the kids can do in their free time, or, you know, if they're done with their math, I'll tell them, okay, you need to work on this section in math or something like that. And there are definitely the kids that really love it and the kids who would rather do something else. I think there's something to be said for maybe encouraging those kids who really don't like it, find out why they don't.
Right.
And if it's a competition thing, see if you can turn off that scoring for them so that they don't see it, if that's an option, or help them to understand that if they're not winning, it's still okay. I'm sure there are some kids who just don't like the fact that it's on technology. They want something paper and pencil in front of them. One nice thing about Front Row is that it will also give you printables. So you could offer the kid, okay, if you do it for this long, you can also do this, with paper and pencil. Or just understand that not everyone learns all the same way. And just because some of your class is doing it, maybe not everyone has to. And you would have some time to just work with that group of children and not force them to do something they didn't want to do.
I liked one of the things you also told us in pre-planning about how Front Row, this system that you're working with currently, has the students go to other students for help. So it's aware of who's already completed a certain module or whatever and has them doing some peer-to-peer kind of learning, which seems like a really positive thing.
Yeah, the kids really like talking to each other about, you know, hey, you got this right, I want to ask you. And then whoever's getting asked also, you know, they feel special because they're getting to help someone. So I really like that feature of it as well.
Cool. Well, online learning isn't just for students. There are learning curves for teachers as well. And maybe that's one of the challenges with doing this kind of thing, is that teachers have to feel comfortable administering it all. And so, you know, there are online classes for those kind of things as well.
That is maybe one of the drawbacks to the MAPS testing, and also just to, you know, any using IXL or Front Row is that the teacher really has to know what they're doing. And so that's, I think that's the only negative we've seen with the MAPS testing so far, is when you only do something 3 times a year, you kind of forget how it works. Also, we're not doing it with my grade, so I can't really help the teachers because I haven't seen it. But as we've been doing it more and more, they get more and more comfortable, and there are definitely a lot of tutorials out there already made, or, you know, PDFs already made. And same thing with what I've seen with different apps. The people who are making them are aware of different levels of comfortability for different teachers. So they've got the YouTube videos and the how-to guides, and you just have to be proactive and think, you know, if I don't know how to do this, I need to set aside some time and learn how to do it.
Even that, taking it beyond just maybe even the classroom, Rachel, you're an example. I'm one also got a master's through or an MBA through a 16-course program, 14 of which were online. And this was 15 years ago, you know, when I did this. You're going through a program right now where I would assume most of it is online, right?
My doctorate's going to be completely online, which I don't know how a teacher would do advanced degrees otherwise, because between your various activities after school and meeting with parents, and you never have the same schedule, I think it would be pretty impossible to set aside a night every week or 2 nights to go to an actual class. Right. So being online and being able to do my work whenever I've got time is really is the only way it will work for me.
Sally, you've done the same thing in some of your post-grad work. You know, that's
definitely been
online. And I think in general, good experiences for me at least. And that, again, that would have been the same. I was working a full-time job, and there's really no way I would have been able to spend significant amounts of classroom time and gotten the thing done.
Probably a good time for me to pipe up about MLC's course offerings, because Martin Luther College offers graduate level work as well as continuing education, and their summer schedule has been released. And so you can get in on registration already, and there's a healthy offering specifically in the educational technology area if you're interested in boning up on those skills. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes to MLC summer courses, and perhaps that's a way for you to do some online learning from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I have to put in a plug for my course, Dynamic Classroom Presentations. I do it every summer. They got me signed up again this year to do it. Fun course. It's just a one-credit, three-week course, but we have a lot of fun talking about how to up your game when you're building PowerPoints or keynote presentations, and some of the different techniques, some of the do's and don'ts, and how actually rather simple it is to take it to the next level. So come and join the fun.
One more thing I'd like to share before we're done talking about online coursework is an article I read just this week talking about MOOC. MOOC, I never remember what that stands for.
Massive online massive. something.
Yes. It's a big class. It's free, and you can sign up. It's offered through Central Florida, University of Central Florida, and it's called Becoming a Blended Learning Designer, and it's available through Canvas Network. Mm-hmm. And I actually signed up for it, and so I'm in on it. It looks kind of like a Moodle-type offering. They're going to have live webinars to participate in and assignments. It says 2 to 3 hours of work per week, and you can earn a badge when you're done, very professionally done. But if you're interested in doing some online coursework, this might be a good thing to get in on. It started yesterday, Monday, February 27th, but I'm guessing you could still sign up and jump into it since it's just the first week. But looks like a really nice offering for blended learning.
So what is Canvas? What are you going to be learning about?
Well, Canvas is, I believe, is just the platform it's on, kind of like Moodle.
Yeah.
But yeah, the topic is becoming a blended learning designer.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And it's about offering courses online, basically, cool. and blending them into your traditional coursework.
Cool.
And I would say MOOCs are really, it stands for Massive Open Online Course. And that's really something for teachers who maybe aren't interested in doing an entire master's or doctorate program, but still have little areas they want to improve in or learn more about. I think that's really the next place to go to look, because they're really popular, and in a lot of cases, they're really well done. You're finding, information from universities. Mm-hmm. So, if you just Google around a little bit, you'll find a lot of great, great courses you can take on so many subjects and, learn a little bit more and not have to spend any money.
Yep.
Right. They even offer CEUs on this one. So
oh, cool.
You're looking for continuing ed.
We've talked about iTunes U in the past. I've mm-hmm. mentioned Udemy, udemy.com, which is basically anybody could put up a course there for fairly inexpensive, and all on very solid, easy to use platforms, and that's one of the tricks here. We'll have other links in the show notes for things that we uncovered that might be helpful for you to explore, so be sure to visit wellstech.wells.net to get a list of all those things, and can maybe contribute your own if you want to join the conversation that way. Sally, it was a bad day for the internet today, wasn't it?
It was. Just this afternoon, many websites apparently experienced downtime because they were on the Amazon
Web Services
S3 servers. And so they were hosting content in the cloud, and those Amazon servers went down. They just had a lot of error reporting, they said, and it caused some pretty popular websites to go down. I'll just say right off the bat that I didn't know how much I love Trello until this happened to me this afternoon, and my brain was gone, vanished in the cloud, the Amazon cloud. And so apparently it hit MailChimp and Slack and a lot of others that are really popular, including one that's is it up right now or something like that, a website that you go to find out about downtime, website was down. So I think they're still recovering a little, but I can report that my brain came back and Trello was back online. It was maybe an hour or so that they were down, which is a long time for a cloud-based company to have issues. So
This is usually what is behind major internet outages, is these content networks like AWS or Azure, whatever, have problems, which a lot of websites rely on, Twitter, Trello, whatever it is. And either they can become very slow or unresponsive or just totally down because they rely on these very sophisticated, very high-powered content delivery networks or CDNs like this one to be able to serve up that content. AWS was down, and they're the biggest. They were down a couple years ago, September of 2015, I think. And that time they were down over 5 hours. And that's a little scary because it can kind of cripple, the country to a certain degree. Because there are a lot of things that rely on that, including some communication networks and banking sites and, all those kinds of things are reliant on that. So
eventually the Trello people said, well, if you have the app, you have a safety net because they basically download the content to your mobile if you use the app. However, it was only as good as the last time you had used the app. So I opened it. I was excited. I can get to it, but it didn't have current information in it.
You could work on last year's work. But
no. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe I've opened it since last year, but yeah, it just kind of gives you a pause to think about how much we do depend on the cloud.
Yep.
And
Rachel, did that affect you today?
I didn't look at any of those particular websites today, so thankfully I was all good.
Awesome.
All right. Very good. Let's move along to the next segment of our show, a fan favorite, and I think our favorite, too. One of our favorites is our tips or picks of the week. And Rachel, as our guest host, do you want to lead off?
I sure will. I was looking at Khan Academy when I was looking at some online learning stuff, which is not my pick of the week. But it got me to my pick of the week because this particular app designer has gone together with Khan Academy to make some really great free apps. So it's called Duck Duck Moose. So not Duck Duck Gray Duck, Sally. not Goose either, but Duck Duck Moose. And they've got a bunch of free apps. And they are both Android and iPad apps. And they're definitely for little kids, preschool, kindergarten, first grade. Maybe the math one could go up to third grade or fourth grade. It's got some multiplication and division, Pet Bingo does. But it's also, it looks very little kiddish, so they might not like it. But they're just some very high quality. I've downloaded quite a few of them. My kids have been playing with them for the past 2 weeks. I've been enthralled by the puzzle one, so I've been playing that one for a while. And it's, you know, it's hard to find good free apps, and these are good free apps. So that is my pick of the week.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to tell me which one is the puzzle one. What's the name of it?
Oh, it says puzzle in the name of it.
Okay. We'll have to find
that
one.
I think it's the red bunny that kind of looks like he's like freaking out.
Okay.
So how do you install these? Do you do a search on your iPad or are they in the
browser? Yeah. I know that the App Store will let you search by app developer. So if you put in Duck Duck Moose, you will find them all. I can't tell you about Android because I don't own anything Android. Sally, it's the one with the owl.
Okay.
It's puzzle one. It's called Puzzle Pop.
So if you go to this link that we'll have in the show notes to duckduckmoose.com where the apps are all listed, mm-hmm. you can click on a particular one and then there'll be links to both iTunes and,
yes.
Well, this one just says iTunes. So
it
looks like it's just iTunes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. For iPhone or iPad.
They are Android apps, so maybe iPhone, it only has some of them for Android.
Okay.
Yeah, there are... It's not as many for Android. I'm sorry, Android users.
Now there are fewer of those tools out in our schools anyway, but interesting. Good find. Thank you. Sally, you want to step up to the plate?
I would be happy to. I'm going to share again something we talked about last fall on Wells Tech. It wasn't a pick of the week, but it is now officially a pick of the week because this weekend is National Day of Unplugging. It's actually dated March 3rd and 4th. Story behind that is it's actually a Jewish group that put this together. So for them, National Day of Unplugging starts at sundown Friday night and goes through to sundown Saturday night, March 3rd and 4th. And the concept is that you put your devices to bed for 24 hours. And they have some great resources on their website for families, ideas and things to do when you don't have a device in front of you. Imagine that. They also have a downloadable I Unplugged 2 and you fill in the blank, and they have it in all different languages and things, so you can download this this poster, this I Unplugged 2, and fill in the blank and take your picture and be part of the National Unplugging Day. Maybe that'll encourage someone else to do it. So I'm all prepared. I printed my I Unplugged 2. And mine says, if I can get it at the right spot, I unplugged to volunteer because on Saturday I'm going to work at the Treasure House, our local resale shop that supports the high school here, the Lutheran High School here in New Ulm. And then I put shop and cook and read and play games because our family loves to play board games. And question. So who knows what all I can accomplish in 24 hours without a device in front of me. I'll have to let you know next week how that goes, if I have any jitters or anything from unplugging.
You'll have to get a report from Kevin to see if you actually picked up something.
Yeah. I'm not letting him in on this. So.
he did not sign one of the
he hasn't yet. I'm going to talk to my family. We'll see if I can encourage all of them to unplug.
All right.
And encourage all of you to unplug as well. See how your 24 hours go. Let us know.
All right. Well, if you want to plug in, I'm going to give you a great site to do that. And that's my pick of the week, kind of the anti-unplug. And that is a site that I frequent whenever I'm kind of in the market for tech. And it's called The Wire Cutter, thewirecutter.com. It's a recommendation site. And it was kind of a grassroots kind of consumer reports thing. It's not, you know, super, super scientific, but I would say it is really thorough. And I've had really good luck in using this when I'm considering making a purchase. So I'm just on the homepage here, those of you that are following along at home. For instance, their lead article here is the best wireless exercise headphones. And most of it is all about tech, of course. It's called The Wire Cutter. But they have smart home stuff, TVs, down to camera bags, travel stuff, home networking, just a whole list of different categories, home theater, mobile devices, projectors, small office tablets, TV storage, smartphones, and the whole bit. And one of the things that I like about them is they're very verbose, which is good. They give you more information than you might need. They make a pick similar to the way we do, and then they give you a link to where you can go purchase it. But then they give you some justifications and some second and third picks or alternate picks. And then they have a whole set of different categories that they rate these things on. They don't give it a number rating, but they just kind of give you a nice narrative of different things about these different products. And they tell you why you should trust them, what they tested, what kind of experience they've had. And they keep this really up to date. So it's not something that you're going to find oldie moldy stuff on. So it's I found it to be an excellent site. And if you were to go online and do a search for one of these products and for reviews of these products, if it made their list, they would probably come up. They're extremely popular site. And they cover a lot of products. And so if you're in the market for some kind of gadget, the chances are that it's going to be on The Wire Cutter. Totally free. You don't have to subscribe to the site. They provide lots of product shots and really do a nice job at doing this review. They put all these devices through their paces. For instance, they're running one of their Bluetooth exercise headsets under some running water here just to give that a test, etc. So I found them to be very honest and forthright. So I think this is probably a good site if you're in the market for this kind of stuff. TheWireCutter.com. Sally, Rachel, ever heard of the site?
I have not.
I have.
Rachel, you've used it?
My dad and my brother have often sent me there when I've asked their opinion about something. They send me one of their reviews. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, very in-depth. So, all right. So those are our picks of the week. We should probably move on to ministry resources. And I've got something to share there as well. And this is something we've talked about on the show before. And it is called Ref Tagger as my ministry resource. Ref Tagger is a little utility that you can install on your website or blog. It's really simple. It simply turns any Bible reference that you have on your site. So it scans your page. And if you have Ephesians 2:13 or even EPH, 213, lots of different formats it will interpret. It will turn it into a clickable link that will then be able to be hovered over. And I can show you an example here. And you'll get a little pop-up, not like that, but a little pop-up on your screen that'll actually show you the verse in your translation of choice. There's a more link usually that pops up that you can go right to the Biblius site, which is the sponsor of this from Logos, and share links. So you have Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus. So if there's a Bible verse on your page that somebody wants to share, they can easily do that. So this kind of obviates the need to type in longer Bible references. somebody just hovers over it, they're going to get that entire Bible reference right on your page for free. It's really simple to add this to a site. It doesn't require a lot of technical expertise. You can cut and paste code into your HTML. It's just a script tag that you can add to the bottom of the body tag. There you can just pick your Bible translation of choice. They have about 20 of them here. The new NIV is one of them. ESV is also popular. KJV is there as well. Or they have plugins, or plugins have been created for all the popular blogging sites, Blogger, Drupal, Joomla, and WordPress. And that's as simple as searching in your plugins page on WordPress. So what I did was I created a quick screencast of demonstrating how to put that on a regular web page or in WordPress. I think those would be the two most popular ways to use that. And it takes all of about 30 seconds, I think, to set this up. So don't be shy. There's really not a reason to do this. And actually, now that I think about it, I should have put that right in my blog post where I could have demonstrated. I didn't think of that. Maybe I'll edit that before it goes live. So it's called RefTagger, RefTagger. And it's RefTagger.com. All the instructions are there. You can see how it works. So if you have a final website, you can implement it there. If you have a WordPress site or you do your own, really simple to implement. So great resource if you're looking to add that functionality.
Excellent. I've done a lot of training of folks, and I can't think of a single one of them that wants to type more links and go to the trouble of, you know, adding those links. And, you know, really that hover is really great when you're incorporating links into something, because you don't want them to leave what they're reading. You just want right. them to have that information there. So quality product that everyone should be taking advantage of.
There's very little competition. I mean, I looked around. There are a couple other things. And normally in our blog posts, we want to put other references to competing products. And I just didn't bother with this one because this one does the trick. So.
Yeah. And they've been around a long time, too. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Let's move on to our featured video.
We have a video this week. Actually, this is Lutheran Schools Week for our St. Paul's Lutheran School here in New Ulm. Or maybe it was last week. Anyway, they recently celebrated Lutheran Schools Week. I'm guessing many other schools are doing similar things. And one of the things they showed was this video. Martin, you might recognize the videographer here if you could see him from behind that camera.
In New Ulm, it's probably Jonathan Witte character.
It was Jonathan Witte who filmed this in one take, a lip dub kind of thing with the song Happy playing in the background. They have all of their students involved in this, and it actually made it on the Kids Connection, which they played in church on Sundays. So if you want to be happy about Christian education, this is a great video to watch and maybe something for you to try in your own school. But lots of fun had here. Neat. So check it out.
Very good. Sally, next week, you're center stage.
I'm looking forward to next week. I actually, last week, had a chance to meet with the folks at Jesus Loves Me Learning Center in North Mankato, Minnesota, and talk to them about positive things to do on the internet with their kids. And I put that together in a presentation that I want to share with our Wells Tech audience as well. So tune in next week. We're going to just talk about parenting in the digital age and some of the positive things that can be done to encourage your students, your children. Martin, I'm not hearing you.
Oops. While you've got the stage and I can save my voice, why don't you tell the kids at home how they can participate in this Wells Tech show thing.
Good idea. So you'll want to definitely take the opportunity to head over to wellstech.wells.net. That's the website that has and will have 486 of our weekly podcast posted there. You can catch all the links and things that we've talked about on the show, and you can also communicate with us. We love to hear from our audience. We have links to Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You can join our DIGO group and tag things with Wells Tech so we can get them there. We have a wiki available to you where you can share your information or look up information others have shared. And we have a Google group, which is basically an email group where you can ask questions and get answers and share information as well. So no shortage of ways to communicate with us there on the website. We also would love to hear your voice. And over here in the sidebar, there's a link to send us a voicemail. So call in and let's play your voice on the show. We'd love to do that and include your comments and things. And so please do head to wellstech.wells.net or email Martin and I at wellstech@wells.net.
Don't be shy. Rachel, so good to have you again. Will you come back in a couple months and talk EdTech again with us?
I think I can be talked into that, yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks so much. Blessings on your Lent and your continuing teaching ministry and your studies and all you got going on in your life.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking time out to join us for an hour here.
It's always fun.
Take care, everybody. We will talk to you next week.